Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
That's right. It's easy for you to say.
It takes a long time, doesn't it? It's a long old title for an episode, but you know, it's a strong pod, so you can just push through the title and enjoy the content. I say.
I mean, the title's half of the podcast, if we're honest. running time is mostly title.
That's all the time we've got, guys. Thanks very much for listening today. We've got a fantastic guest in Tom Bell. Brilliant stand-up, wonderful actor and performer. He's great, and it was a real fun time chatting to him.
It was great. Yeah, we've been friends with Tom Bell for years. We were talking about it just at the end of the record. We started performing sketch comedy at about the same time.
It's
about like 2006 kind of time, and we were all performing. Yeah, 2006, 2007. And so we'd gig all the time with Tom Bell, and he's brilliant, and it's a real treat to have him on.
Yeah, it was a real treat chatting to him. We'll get onto that as well. If you want to hear more Tom Bell, then get yourself over to the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, where there'll be an extra bonus beef that is not included in this episode. It'll go nowhere else. It'll only be on the Patreon, and you can get the extra bonus beef. Plus, of course, you can get bonus episodes every single week of our other podcast, Flatshare Pop Round. So you can get those if you join the £4 tier or above. You get all of that bonus content every single week in your inbox. So join today.
Yeah.
patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Oh, one thing we should promote is that we are going to be at the Cheerful Earful Festival again. We did it last year. We had a very, very good time. It's billed as a Flatshare slam down, but unfortunately, Tom is not able to make it. Because you have got a little baby on the way.
Yes, exactly. I'll be having my hands full.
That's pretty much around the due date, so it would seem churlish for you to be miles from home doing a Flatshare slam down.
Agreed.
So we're going to do a live Beef Brothers instead, and it's going to be a collaboration with the brilliant Trusty Hogs. That's Catherine Bohart and Helen Bauer. So they're doing their show at 5. We're going to be guests on their show on the 5th of November. And then we're going to do our show at 7 o'clock, and they're going to be our guests as well. So it's going to be really, really fun. It's a hell of a day, the 5th. Phenomenal podcasts. There's the Nobody Panic is on that day. Lex Education is on that day. We've obviously had Laura and Ron on the podcast as well. But yeah, grab tickets. It currently says Flatshare Slam Down, but it is a live Beef Brothers with myself and with Clarky and with Catherine and with Helen. And it should be a ton of fun. So please come along. 5th of November, are available from... Remember, the 5th of November. Tickets are available from cheerfulearful.co.uk, and we'll put a link to those in the show notes, and they'll be up on our website, pappyscomedy.com/live.
And don't forget, it's a great pub.
A fantastic pub.
Racking pub.
A Sunday in that pub with all your favourite pods going on. The Birthday Girls run on the 5th as well, I think.
Birthday Girls are there as well, yeah. All our pals are going to be there.
Day of it. Pod your brains out.
Absolutely. Yeah, go for your podding. Like, Tom, are you not tempted to pop down?
I'll be in the crowd. I'm coming to watch.
Yeah, it's a good lineup, man. It's a really good lineup.
My family will understand.
We'd love to see you there. And so grab your tickets from cheerfulearful.co.uk. Grab them today.
Dung 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 dung. We interrupt this broadcast with some breaking news. Dun dun. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, it's good, man. I really like it.
Doesn't happen anymore, does it?
I don't think so. No. It does happen on the event of like a big, like for example, the couple of royal deaths we had in the last couple of years. They get
doozies.
a couple of absolute doozies. Yeah, the big ones. They get interrupted. We at Radio X, we've got like breaking news things. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, very anyway, exciting.
Listen, anyway, dears, the king is dead. Dung 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 dung.
Well, in a way, the king is dead because you're not going to be at the next Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, but you'll be at whatever next live thing we do in 2024. But we interrupt this. Yeah, go on.
God permitting, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what God's plan is for us? We just don't know. I think this really quick drop in is going quite well, don't you?
Right.
Just a quick 15 seconds to tell people what we've decided about the next Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. But we've decided, as we had so much fun at our last Flat Slam, which was a Christmas special, we're going to make this another Christmas special. Yeah, another way too early Christmas special on the 5th of November. It's going to be a Beef Brothers Cold Turkey. So that means we'd like you to send in your festive beefs to be solved by myself, by Clarkey, and by the two wonderful and very trusty hogs, Helen Bauer and Catherine Bohart. So beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, or of course, you can call the hotline on this number.
02081233272.
Amazing, we have to do a drop-in of a jingle in a drop-in.
I mean, this is like Inception.
It really is. But yeah, grab tickets. It currently says Flatshare Slam Down, but it is a live Beef Brothers with myself and with Clarkey and with Catherine and with Helen. And it should be a ton of fun. So please come along. 5th of November, are available from... Remember, the 5th of November. Tickets are available from cheerfulearful.co.uk, and we'll put a link to those in the show notes, and they'll be up on our website, pappyscomedy.com/live.
And don't forget, it's a great pub. Oh,
it's a fantastic pub.
Bracken pub.
Well, get in touch, but in the meantime, enjoy this episode with Tom Bell.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a
Jill's away, I've got the all clear. She's like, I won't listen to this one if you want to beef about me. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, I really like that. I like... We should do a little disclaimer at the start, because people often sort of send in beefs and they're anonymous, and they say, just in case my neighbours listen. I think we have to have a code of honour that we say, listen, if you are the neighbours of, you know, this person... We'll give the full name and address.
Yeah.
You cannot listen to this episode.
You've just got to skip this one.
You've just got to skip this one. Do you think, have you got a beef with your partner that you want to just get out of the way early doors? You say, look, just say, look, I tell you what, you don't have to miss the entire episode. Just skip the first 30 seconds.
There's always bits and bobs, aren't there?
What I liked about that is you started by going, in all honesty, I'm the one who should cheese up.
Yeah.
But actually then you were like, hang on a second.
Hang on a second.
There's a few go. Give us a bit and maybe a bob as well.
I've got too much stuff. I'm a hoarder. So obviously we live together. It's all the stuff sort of mine. But then it's like, that's okay. I don't know. I'm like, I'm allowed to have...
I too have this problem.
Yeah,
I've got this problem.
Yeah.
All the stuff's mine.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, the stuff is all mine, but I want it.
So yeah,
that's why
some
I've
of
got
it's
this
nice
place.
Stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stuff like, you know, should you throw away a book after you finish reading it or pass it on? And I'm terrible for just keeping everything, even if I'll never look at it again, or because I'm like. Little visual memory of that time I read a book. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is quite a proud moment.
Or buy a book, don't read it, but just keep it.
Exactly. The shelves are full, but it's, I don't know, don't mind it. But it drives her mad. She's just like, you don't need this.
We've got a thing in our house where my wife reads quality literature and I read shit, basically. And we had a bit of a bookshelf clear out recently, and all of my books just ended up in a big pile in the corner of the office, and all of her books are on the... And you know what? Completely fair enough, you know, because it does make it... I mean, the only thing is that I feel guilty when people come in and go, oh, look at all your books, and I have to go, I haven't read a single one of these books.
Oh, you don't read them.
If you want to see Chris Evans' autobiographies, three or four copies, they're all up there. I've read, you know, like basically that's what I read. I read books about, you know, I read books about people who worked for Radio 1 in the 90s. That's that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the books I enjoy.
He bought the original coat from Withnail and I, didn't he, Chris Evans? And then he destroyed it on a scooter.
Yeah, he's lived a life, man.
By mistake or as some kind of Top Gear stunt?
By mistake, yeah. It was too long and he went on a scooter and it just went under the wheels, apparently.
No, Tom Bell announced today with Nell and I the stage show is going to be...
Yes!
We're going to go for it and...
My God. And at the bottom
said,
it says,
I want to hear from actors who want to be here. There's a
tell you what.
And I, you've got to be thinking of sending that email.
I mean, how's your Uncle Monty, Tom? Are you feeling... Sorry.
It's good. It's casting itself, this.
Yeah, I am thinking of sending that email.
You've got to do it. You've absolutely got to do it. That's another great book as well. I've got one of the, I've got With Nails, Richard E. Grant's book. That's fantastic. That's up in the office. Not quite Dostoevsky, you know.
Well, Jill got me Richard E. Grant's new book for Christmas, and I'm like, well, you're not helping yourself here, are you?
Don't buy me stuff.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. You can't give me gifts and expect me to not to hang on to everything.
There's got to be something that she's got more of than you have.
Yeah, yes.
What's that?
Yeah, that's
patience.
True.
In my wife's case, it's taste. She likes nice things, you know. She's very happy to get rid of. She's like, oh, well, let's get rid of this. And I go, well, that's only recently got that. It's quite new. She's like, yeah, but it doesn't go with the other things. Yeah. And she's right every time. She's got good taste.
Yeah.
Apart from in men, of course.
So one Achilles heel. I've capitalised on it.
Luckily. Yeah.
Bathroom stuff. We've got a lot. The bathroom's a lot of her stuff, but that feels like I'm being gender specific. But it does. That's how it's worked out.
Mm.
Shoes. Am I right? Oh God.
And left.
Yeah. Hello.
I have so many more shoes than my wife.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I've got probably three times the amount of shoes that Jane has.
You're the Imelda Marcos of pappies, aren't you, Parry?
I know, yeah. I feel sentimental about old trainers, and so try to keep them for as long as possible.
Do they get a rotation? Do they get a run in each of the shoes, or are some of them just there to be a sort of memento of the time you once had a pair of Adidas?
Some of them have got like a Glastonbury in them.
Literally.
Oh my God, those are the shoes you've got to get rid of immediately.
I know.
If you've worn shoes to a festival, if you've worn shoes into a drop toilet, then you're chucking them the second you get. I think it's not even fair to drive home in them.
Well, you use the drop toilets to drop your shoes, don't you?
That's what I do at the end of Glastonbury. I just ceremonially tie my shoelaces together, hoik up into the sky, and see how big a splash I can make.
What we tend to do, and a lot of people do, I think, is that sort of area where you go, okay, well, I'll put it somewhere, and if I don't use it for a year, then it's got to go. So I've got an attic, but what it means is my attic's just full of...
Oh, yeah. Because you never go up and clear it out, do you?
You don't clear it out. I go up to clear it out, and then I'm just awash in lovely memories.
That's the tricky thing, isn't it? You can't go back to the box.
No.
My parents will always do this. They've got various things at theirs, and they're like, can you go up and sort through that? And I'm like, no, I haven't needed it for over a year, so throw it.
Yeah, no, of course
not. Just get rid of it.
So you say throw it. That's great.
Because otherwise, if I start looking at it, I'll be like, oh, I'll keep this, I'll keep that.
Mm-hmm. What I do is I'll often like go through it. And, you know, I'll have boxes of like old tickets from Edinburgh and stuff, or flyers. Yeah. And I'll often take a photo of the flyer and send it to the person whose show it was and go, what about this? And they'll go, yeah, I don't care. Like, oh, well, if you don't care, then I should probably shouldn't care either. Straight in the recycling it goes.
That was going to be my ambition, was to photograph all my things that had sentimental value. And that way then I have them digitally and then I can bin them.
Yeah,
that's
so that
a good
was
idea.
Be the project, but the time that takes, you really need to just be kind of a single person with no one in your life, and then you can spend 3 months doing that kind of thing.
What you need to do is employ an archivist.
Yeah.
I love the idea of you employing an archivist to take photos of all your old shoes.
Yeah.
It's quite a tough job. You need a strong stomach.
Clarky, you've got no sense of smell.
Yeah, there we go. I'll do it for you, mate.
Do you want to earn 50 quid?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Tom, you just said it's a 3-month job. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, 25.
Shall we try and solve some of someone else's
beef? Let's get into these,
Let's get into it. Tom Parry, do you want to start with Ash's beef?
I'm going to tell you now, we're in for a cracking beef here.
Oh,
yeah.
Mum's Cooking Beef from Ashley via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Do get in touch.
Please do get in touch.
And the email is a fine way to do so. Look, I know Tom Bell was saying, trying to besmirch digital's good name, but for now, it's still a great thing to do. Get in touch.
Email's where it's at, yeah.
Hello, pappies. I am writing in with a beef concerning my mother's cooking. My mother is a terrible cook. She doesn't own salt because she doesn't believe in it. She hates chopping anything and didn't own a peeler until my wife bought her one. She, however, believes she is a great cook, and me and my stepdad are just fussy eaters. My wife now refuses to eat anything she cooks. She is notorious for not following recipes, giving up halfway through, or substituting ingredients. Here's some examples. She made a potato bake, but didn't have cream, so substituted it with Greek yogurt. I ate it and felt very ill. Do not recommend. She made a stir fry, but got bored cutting vegetables, so it ended up just being celery with honey and soy sauce.
Brackets, no.
I hate celery. She made a lasagna with whole pitted olives in it.
What?
Fun, crunchy mouth surprises. All of these meals were completely unseasoned. Our solution to the bad cooking has been ordering takeaway whenever we go around, eating out or offering to cook. The problem being that she started to cotton on to that and knows what we're doing and has become offended when we avoid eating her food, insisting that she can cook. Pappies, what can we do? Cheers, Ash. And then they follow up with, P.S. Are tomato and peanut butter sandwiches weird? It's one of my mother's recipes that I grew up on.
Well, we'll deal with that one first. I'm a great believer that peanut butter goes with almost everything. But I don't know. At least, you know, I tell you what, at least it's got a bit of salt in it.
Will you road test it for us tomorrow, Crossbone, report back?
I'll have a peanut butter and tomato sandwich and I'll tell you all about it.
It doesn't sound good.
But it doesn't sound terrible. It doesn't sound, I mean, I would prefer that to the
celery with
honey and soy sauce.
I'd prefer anything to that.
Yeah. What are you like as a cook, Tom?
I like cooking. Yeah. I'm cooking and just get on with it. But I think all cooks think they're good, don't they? I don't know. Maybe I'm terrible. No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, this is actually an intervention.
I stopped eating meat about 15 years ago, a long time ago now. And I think when you decide to do that, you have to get a bit better at cooking and you have to go like, right, what, let's... So I sort of learnt the ropes a bit. So I'm good, I enjoy it. But I mean, that sounds terrible. Salt, I mean, it's in every recipe.
Yeah, you desperately need it.
You say she doesn't believe in it. That's not like a conspiracy.
See, you need it. You need it in your diet.
Yeah.
Not just for making things taste at least a bit good.
And everybody likes to think that they've know better than a recipe. I can see that. You go like, well, the recipe says this, but I think I can work my way around it. But there's a few things you've just got to go. Like, you can do creme fraiche instead of sour cream, but not yogurt.
No, not yogurt instead of cream.
You can't just go on colour alone.
You can't be colour.
And, yeah, and sort of vague consistency. Yeah. You know, you can't stick Yakult in it. I mean, it's... I mean, maybe you could. This, by the way, it reminds me, because I use the BBC Good Food website a lot to cook from. as I'm sure we all do. But I love the reading the comments underneath where someone will go 2 stars and they go, I made this for my family and they all hated it. And then they will say, I didn't have this, so I substituted this with this. I didn't have that. So I was, and you're like, well, you didn't make the same thing then, did you? So you can't give it 2 stars. You know, like, we didn't have any lamb, so I substituted broccoli. Well, of course. It's like, of course it's not going to work. You know. I topped this with porridge oats. Well, yeah, no wonder it tasted vile. You're a lunatic. But this is very much that sort of thing.
I mean, dreading a meal is about that. That's not a good place to be, is it?
Oh, it's hot. No. Yeah. That's no
And now she knows. What do you do? We've got to give some... We've got to get Ashley... We've got to sort them out.
Yeah,
absolutely. We've explained that we agree with Ashley, but we've offered no solutions up to this point.
Mother's Day present culinary school?
It's very on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
If she already thinks she's a good cook, then maybe that's not... It's a bit too, you know...
It's signposting it a bit, but I think at some point... You've got to be brutal. You've got to be cruel to be kind. I mean, what else can we do in this situation?
Cooking together?
Could they sneak salt in somehow? Like one of those rings that people used to have poison in. They're dropping it.
One of those teeth, the fake teeth in the back of your cyanide belt.
It's a ring, but it's also a salt grinder.
Yeah.
It's a really big, ostentatious ring.
And then just a sandwich taped under. Yeah, just
when Ash shows up to wearing like 15 different rings, you know, she's got them on her fingers, she's got them on her toes, she's got paprika in one of them. Yeah. She's got
spice jewelry.
Oregano, yeah.
Spice jewelry.
Yeah. I think that's it's certainly
not
a good
bad.
One. Yeah.
Not bad.
You know,
gravy in a hat.
So you think you're saying top of the morning to you, but actually you're siphoning off a load of
gravy on there, because gravy, you can cover things, you know, there's things like that, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Like in, you know, the Cruel Intentions, she wears the cross round her neck that's actually full of cocaine. This is what you want to you know, pop some sweet corn in there or something that can just you know, bring the meal alive. Just any other flavours, really.
Is there an argument to get somebody to dinner whose opinion will count?
She values. Yeah.
I am talking about John Turod. Do any of us have a connection? Can we get to John Turod? Can we get John Turod round Ash's house? Because if he's at your dinner table and he tells it like it is, which he would. Surely then, you know, you want someone who's going to confirm it for everyone so that it doesn't feel like a conspiracy or a cruelty.
What if John is just so taken by the maverick nature of the meal that...
Actually, it turns out we're dealing with a master chef here.
Yeah, exactly. This is the next generation. This is a once-in-a-generation talent.
Because that's the thing, isn't it, you know? Like sometimes the wackiest combinations, they seem like on paper they wouldn't work.
That's why I said to Rode, we don't want Blumenthal.
That's why you can't get Blumenthal.
No, God no, don't get Blumenthal.
Seeing her as some sort of protege.
He might have found his kindred spirit, his next, the next in line, the baton's been passed.
Turod's no nonsense.
He can't hide.
He's very, very happy to say, you know, that the flavour of the Greek yogurt is ruining the flavour of the potato. He's happy to do that. He's always, unfortunately, the gorgeous taste of the celery is being lost in all this soy sauce it's swimming in. He's happy to do it. Yeah. How do we get, could you get a John Turod lookalike? If you can't get the actual John Turod, could you get a John Turod lookalike and feed him lines with like a little earpiece?
It's more
that,
work,
that might
isn't
be
it?
Easier.
Honestly, yeah. We said the different thing there.
Yeah. And then agreed with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Clarky thinks that's easier. Tom, you think that's harder?
Yeah. It's going to be worth trying, isn't it? I think start with John and then that you've got that as a backup.
Slowly. Absolutely, yeah.
Is this an option? Like, you could also go... Oh, we had a big meal last night. There's loads of leftovers. Don't want them to go to waste. can we bring them round? And you just, every time you bring, obviously, a full meal. And you're like, people didn't eat a lot last night. Is that a thing?
So it's in like you do the cooking ahead of time.
And you just go, I don't want it to go to waste.
We've got this thing here of she's cottoned on.
Oh, yeah.
And she becomes offended when we avoid eating her food. She insists that she can cook.
But then so give it.
She's going to be aware of all these little manoeuvres. Yeah, I think we're in a position where Ash has to be eating the food or has to get a message through that this woman can't cook without damaging her relationship with her mom.
I've got a great idea. I've got a great idea. Here we go.
It is.
Fake mouths. The whole family.
Finally.
There it is. But a fake mouth. Okay, so talk us through it. So you put the food into the mouth, but it's not going...
Absolutely, yeah. It's chomping away.
Are you thinking the Nina Conti style set fight?
Maybe a little big, the Nina Conti ones. They're a bit obvious. Think Nina Conti, think Bow Selector, scale down slightly. Fake rubber mouth that you all wear around the house. The food goes, like, gets siphoned into, like, a small rucksack or something that you're wearing. Or, maybe you wear a large pair of parachute pants and the food just gets siphoned into the bottom of those. But this is what's... So you go there having eaten a nice full meal on the way over. You know, you pop into KFC, pop into Mackie D's or something, fill yourself up, whack on your rubber mouth as you're going in and saying, oh, is that your famous lasagna with... olive pips in it. send it this way, and then chomp, 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 chomp. Possibly even like some sort of those waste disposal units you have in sinks.
Oh yeah,
maybe somewhere in there they could have, you know, they could be just grinding it up.
It could be a little little pig at the bottom of the bag. Pigs eat a lot of stuff, don't they?
A micro pig. Yeah, this is exactly it. Yeah, you've got a micro pig in a bag that is siphoned that siphons the food from a rubber mouth to the pig. The pig eats it, and it sounds like, you know, the mouth's gonna be like, oh my god, the noises they're making chomping that food.
Loving this.
The squeals of delight. They can't get enough of it. They're positively oinking with pleasure. I'm gonna make my potato bake again with the extra Greek yogurt. I think this is a closer to a solution for
okay,
her.
So fake mouths, micro pigs.
Yeah.
Fake mouths and micro pigs, yeah.
Because the lookalike was outlandish, but this on. Now we're there. This is achievable.
We've given plenty of different options. You know, I was happy to say beef solved after the spice rings,
but I do still like spice rings.
I think spice jewelry, tarot guest, and fake mouth micro pigs. Take your pick, really.
Yeah. All the bases are covered.
Beef solved.
But none of the bases are salted.
From the sorting out your beef!
Solved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Free range chalk beef from Eleanor.
Nice.
Hi, Beef Brothers and esteemed guest. That's very nice. For the past couple of years at work, I've been using liquid chalk pens to decorate a large window on one of our workstations. These drawings started out off as sort of silly little scribbles and puns about our workplace. In brackets, a particle accelerator. Yeah, that's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Ooh.
But I've started to get better at making the chalks look decent. I've attached a couple of examples from my portfolio, which we've been sent.
Oh, yes. She sent some photos over.
Great.
You're going to put them on Instagram or something? There'll be ways to see them, I'm sure. Yeah. Where they're worth seeing.
We'll stick them on Instagram, yeah.
This week, I updated the main window, replacing a scene from the classic Studio Ghibli. Is that Ghibli? I've let myself down there.
I think it's Ghibli, yeah.
It's Ghibli.
Yeah, okay. My Neighbor Totoro, with a slightly tweaked scene from Pixar's Up, Exhibit A, albeit unfinished.
My colleague started helping me with a huge task of colouring in all the balloons, lifting our building into the sky. When I came back this morning, I found that one colleague went rogue overnight and started drawing trees and flowers. See Exhibit B. So we've got a before and after situation.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The question is it irrational to be upset with this addition? I guess I don't own the concept of drawing on a window, but it feels like she overstepped by adding elements to a thing I drew without creative direction to do so. Do I need to let this go, or should I erase the trees under the cover of darkness? As creatives yourselves, you are the best people to provide guidance here. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Eleanor. There we are.
This is a tricky one, because you can tell Eleanor is an artist. She's able to draw. She draws really well. All of the pictures she sent us are genuinely fantastic and would bright up any office space. And the Exhibit A, which is the building being lifted up with the balloons, looks great. She's got a real style. The trees, I would say, are a little bit more...
Children's ward.
Certainly more of... Yes, exactly. No. I would say children's homework. I think there's something a little bit...
Crucially, they've misunderstood the photo as well, because in her version, they're in the sky.
Yeah.
And now the trees have brought them back down to the ground.
That's true. They're now kind of, they're hovering about half a foot above the ground, which is not really what I mean. If that was what up was about, it would be more about an old man killing loads of people with his house.
It'd be called a long, wouldn't it?
It's definitely a style clash. Eleanor's has got sort of the black outline, more of like a cartoony, sort of very clear, and these trees are a very clearly a late addition. Much like that fresco that was ruined. It's not. I'm not saying it's as bad, but it's not far off, is it?
It's not good. Do you know what I'd do? I think this is what would send an even stronger message. Is rather than erasing the trees, obviously inspired by the incident at Hadrian's Wall recently.
Yeah,
you should erase down to the stumps. And have, you know, a little cartoon character with an axe, and you fell the trees.
I like that a lot. Oh, yeah.
And then it feels it's got a bit more of an edge to it. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit more ag, a little less pass ag. Well, I think that's what we need in this situation.
You've yes and it a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, you've kind of
okay.
You've yes anded it, but also put it down.
Yeah, but I'll be really clear, I'm not okay with it.
It's playful.
AKA Paris Impro style.
Yeah. Yes and absolutely not.
Yes and we are in a dentist, but it's closed, and actually we're just gonna go back to the home where the scene started.
Now do we think if the trees have been done brilliantly, that would be more or less okay?
Well, I think Clarkie's right. I think it's a scene that's not on the ground, crucially.
It's a real tricky one, because I was going to suggest a slightly similar thing of like trying to develop the photo, like develop the picture and take it elsewhere. Like it's landing in a new spot or something like that. But I think actually just going for the trees. Chop the tree down or smash the window.
A brick through the window does feel like that'll send a really definite message, won't it?
Well, tied to the brick,
do you think that I mean, obviously it seems like Eleanor's been doing this now, how long did she say she'd been doing it for? A few years.
Excuse me, yeah, how long? Don't know. I mean, in fairness, she's also said, I didn't start off brilliantly and I've gotten better. So I suppose whoever this tree person is at the start of their journey.
Well, is it time to share the window? Mm. Is it time to kind of rotate out? And I know this is not like, Eleanor obviously is a fantastic artist and loves it and cares a lot about it. But do you think there might be slight murmurings within the office of like, not necessarily anti-Eleanor murmurings, but like pro... personal artistic growth murmurings from the Particle Accelerator employees? They might go, I just wish one day I could have a go on the window.
Anything to be said for one window each and some sort of, you know, competition,
window wars? Yeah.
They've got important things to be doing, but
I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't you couldn't give a window to it, at least...
It does feel a little bit like, let's look at, you know, if you've written a great gag or a great sketch or something, and, as you know, you do it, and then afterwards somebody goes, that's great, and they just try to add a punchline at the end. It is annoying,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, it really is, yeah.
Yeah, I've completed a,
right here,
a piece of art.
No, I'm talking...
No, Tom, he's talking about me.
I was thinking more about what used to happen after gigs, where someone would come up and go, what you should do, yeah, at the end of that, and then you go, we have worked really hard on making sure this is we've had your first thought that you've just had now, you know, having watched us with 6 pints in your system, and we've rejected
it. You should put trees in the sketch.
That same person.
Put some trees in it.
That is annoying, because it's the right idea.
Yeah, why do we think of it?
Sometimes they'll be right. I think you're right. It might, maybe that's the thing. It's like, okay, next time I'll cede control. And what's going to happen is they'll give it a go. They'll realise they're not able for it. And there'll be people who will be desperate for Eleanor to come back.
Mm.
Also, if you get to see the picture, it does look like the particle accelerator is sort of leaking in the tree version, which is quite bad, isn't it? That can't be good.
Yeah, it looks like there are sort of like, or are they like...
Sort of goo.
Yeah, some sort of goos hanging out the bottom, or roots, or something like that. It's like, yeah, a naturally occurring particle accelerator.
I think in the original, it was to show acceleration up, you know, it's sort of like that cartoony, we're flying, and the person's misunderstood and just turned it into goo.
So now you're saying it's become a nuclear incident?
It looks like it.
What started as... movement has now turned into a Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's we're in a sort of like a Last of Us type situation just around the corner. Do you think?
But maybe that's a good warning. Whoever this is saying, I don't think we should put this very important technology in the sky.
Yeah.
Do you think she walked in and saw it and thought, right, this is a proposal of what we're going to do with this building. Maybe I could, yeah. Listen, this is an idea that needs to be grounded ever so slightly, and I'll just add that in there. I mean, the tricky thing is, Eleanor asked other people to colour in the balloons. It's a big old job, right, to colour in all those balloons, but the second you hand a pen to somebody else, you are relinquishing an element of control. And I think that is, I'm not blaming Eleanor here, I'm just saying, I understand, because... you know, some people will stay within the lines, but there's always going to be a few, you know, a few lunatics out there who think, no, I know what this needs.
Eleanor has to be fucking good at her job.
Yeah, and that's not anything else to do with the drawing. You just, if you could be good at your job, that would be really good.
You have to be really good at your job to be able to put that much effort into procrastinating publicly.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Like, she's got to be the shit hottest person there. Otherwise, she needs to stop doing these for the sake of her career.
Even if she's working late, then, it still doesn't look great. If you go, I saw you work late last night. What were you working on? And she goes, ta-da! Have you seen that Studio Ghibli thing about the little kid with the big weird rabbit that follows her around? Right? No, you haven't seen it? Oh, you should. It's great. It's on Netflix. You're right. As soon as you start doing anything extracurricular on office time, yeah, you better finish your paperwork.
Because even if she's the security guard, you still don't want that from, even though you know your security guard's there on a night shift with hours to kill, you don't want your security guard going, by the way, I wallpapered. Like, you want to be like, yeah, check the perimeter.
Yeah, I think a security guard should be able to see through the windows as well, crucially. I think that's one of the security guard's key jobs.
Freaking out. What's that big rabbit thing? It's a big rabbit thing in the office.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking... I don't know, but in a particle accelerator, I imagine most windows are there for good reason. Just make me a little bit nervous. It's like, yeah. I couldn't see the neutron melting. I mean, I'm no scientist, but whatever the neutron's
see that,
doing.
That particle, accelerating.
Because of all the coloured balloons.
And it went too fast. The neutron went too fast.
Yeah.
Again, I don't really know how particle accelerators work. But could she go back in time?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Get inside the accelerator. Yeah.
Yes.
Go back in time, and you have to be very careful not to obviously let old Eleanor see you, but just sort of sabotage the trees.
Maybe future Eleanor did this.
Okay, she went back, she saw it and went,
fucking hell,
I missed the trees.
No, no, do you know what I think's happened? Future Eleanor loses her job because she's spending too much time painting windows. And she's like, oh, fucked it. If only something could put me off
I need to
doing
stop. Yeah.
those
yeah.
murals, then I'd have saved my career. She pops in the particle accelerator, whips around with the neutrons.
Yeah.
Suddenly she's back. She waits for herself to go home. She does, let's be honest, dog shit trees that she knows are going to ruin her mural and question whether people actually like her mural, etc., etc. Eleanor's now contacting us. We're saying maybe you got to think twice about doing the mural. Eleanor's going to keep her job, get promoted, and probably save the world by nailing down nuclear fission.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with fission.
Am I allowed to say beef solved, or is that you guys?
Hey, do you want to do it? Do you want to take it for a spin?
Give it a go.
If that's not what happened, I'd be very surprised.
Take it for a spin, Tom. Let's
see how it sits.
Well, beef solved.
Sounds good, man. No, sorry. Sounds that was good. That was just, he's come along and he's drawn a big fucking tree on our podcast there.
Sorry. Future me is coming back and saying, don't say it.
From sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
This is from Charlotte, and it is another free-range beef. Main character syndrome beef.
Uh-oh.
And Charlotte sent this in via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, which is a great way to get in touch with this podcast. Dear M, T, B, and esteemed G, we have another esteemed guest there. We have a new colleague who has perhaps the most egregious case of main character syndrome I've ever known, and it's driving us insane. At first, it just seemed like a case of Eleanor Reef. You've been to Tenerife, she's been to Eleanor Reef. Lovely stuff. I enjoyed I enjoyed the hell out of that. Eleanor Reef. You live on a reef. I live on... No, it's not a same thing. And an inability to understand none of us...
Baker's Reef?
Sorry. Please don't... No, don't apologise for Baker's Reef. And Emma... Don't apologise for cutting it out. At first, it just seemed like a case of Eleanor Reef. You've been to Tenerife, she's been to Eleanor Reef. And an inability to understand, none of us is quite as interested in what her and her boyfriend are having for dinner.
Oh.
I mean, there's no no disrespect, by the way, to our first beef, by the way, from Ash. We were interested in what you and your partner were having for dinner.
Because it was insane.
Because it was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So it then mutated into a habit of her interrupting conversations with an "Oh my god, you're never going to believe this," followed by her reading out vast swathes of WhatsApp chats she and her social group are having, usually about some tiny nightclub in the back of Yorkshire none of us have heard of. Now it appears to have reached its zenith with the "and everybody there stopped what they were doing and told me exactly how brilliant I am" face. Her story the other day literally consisted of her telling us she was walking past a hairdresser's in town and finding herself being chased down the street by two of the stylists, telling her she had the best hair they had ever seen, insisting she come back with them to the salon so that she could show it to their clients, and her having to flag down a police car because they wouldn't leave her alone. Oh my god, this feels very much like you know, that account on Twitter,
Didn't happen
of the year awards.
Didn't happen of the year award. Yeah,
yeah, and then everyone in the salon started applauding. Had to flag down a police car because the stylist wouldn't leave her alone,
because her hair was so good.
Like she's the Beatles in Hard Day's Night. She's just got a, you know, Benny Hill theme plays, and she's running around being chased by stylists. She's now a constant monologue of stories ending with everyone praising her or applauding her, or quite often falling out with her because they're just so jealous of her life. The thing is, she is lovely when she's not on broadcast mode, and she clearly has some self-esteem issues which contribute to it. But how do we come together as an office to try and curb this behaviour before everyone, some have already, starts to be mean to her? Please pop some advice in my face, Charlotte. Ooh. Okay, it's a very strong beef.
It's really good. I would say...
Yes, go on, Clarky.
I'm no scientist. But can you get a particle accelerator? It's a tough one, this, isn't it? It's a brilliant one. I mean, but it's tough.
My initial instinct is to keep the top trumps going. You know, Charlotte, you seem like you're a switched on girl. You write a funny email. If she can make up some stories, you can make up some stories. I think that's what you've got to do, is you've got to fight fire with fire. And if she's got, you know, you've got to go 12 a reef on her, basically. you've got to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. So that every time, if she says that, like, you know, the stylists were chasing me down the street, say, similar thing happened to me, and the entire hairdressers took off as if carried by balloons. And landed in front of me. Yeah. Exactly. I think that's certainly one way to go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think you need to buy this girl some podcasting equipment and encourage her to start a podcast, because that's all she needs is she needs the outlet. Podcasting is the perfect outlet for her. So if there's a birthday coming up and it's like, or like, organize the, like, say there's an office raffle at Christmas and then she wins and it's a podcast, it's a home podcasting set, 40 quid, 50 quid, half decent setup.
Sure.
You know, and then it's like, oh my God. And everyone goes, that's amazing, because you have so many great stories. You should definitely start a podcast. And then she's got somewhere for it to go. She can be reading out her WhatsApp groups. She can be telling her tall tales.
I think,
let's be honest, she'll probably do well out there.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think our friend Chaz here should be starting the podcast with her. Because what you need is a bit of back and forth, a bit of argy bargy. You know, you look at the those podcasts like Shag Married Annoyed or My Therapist Ghosted Me. You know, they're born out of a little bit of, oh, you were always saying this, and no, that's not what, you know, that, you know, that kind of, that sort of tug of love type situation. Start a podcast together. You know, you never believe any of her stories. She insists that it's true. You know, I think I could see you as a natural podcasting odd couple.
And then you take it out of the office.
Yeah.
Onto the net. She's got somewhere for it to go. It's going to save, you know, it's going to save the office dynamic. Then.
Next thing you know, you're quitting your jobs because the HelloFresh adverts are rolling in. The Casper mattress adverts are, you know, you're getting the sponsorship reads. It's happening
it
for you guys.
To dry out.
Then
it plateaus. You realise you've kind of reached the number of patrons you're going to get. The adverts kind of drop off. You're still committed to your patrons. You like them, but is it enough for the amount of time you have to give to the podcast? But you keep doing it. You enjoy doing it, but, you know, and then other podcasts are in the arenas. And are you going to make it through to the arena? You maybe sell out a room below a pub, do a live tour, see how that goes.
And if you were going to go to the arenas, wouldn't you have already got there?
You've been in an arena by now.
Not, you know, wouldn't you?
Can't quite see it's in quite a long time. Hall.
I mean, it's good. It's a good point. But I mean, have you plateaued? Those are the sort of things you might be thinking, Charlotte.
Just at like 3 in the morning, that'll just come to your mind.
Yeah. For example,
I think that's my solution. Get that girl podcasting.
It's good,
for God's sake.
Another outlet is a good idea, though, and I think in some ways, like, you know, there's a lot of extroverts out there. You know, sounds like Charlotte's more of an introvert. I'm that would be me as well. Main character syndrome.
You're a man who's literally inside his own cupboard right now. Yeah,
just hiding from the world. Main character syndrome drives me mad. But, you know, that's what a lot of the internet is, isn't it? It's just people going, no internal monologue, I've got to do, you know. And you can, but if you're doing that, then you just commute it and say, yeah, I loved that post, that was great.
Mm.
Or just, you know, just get a blog going, or let's write it all down. Let's make a movie out of this, you could say. I want to see the movie. Don't waste it on us. Save it. Save it for the movie. Are you kidding me? Yeah, save it for the book.
Basically, yeah. Create an agency and sign this person, because it sounds like they've got the. I was thinking about that main character syndrome thing, because there's the opposite of that is NPC being used as like an insult. Yeah. Now. Have you right. heard this? The non-playable character. If someone calls you an NPC, they're basically sort of saying that you're unimportant. It's like a sort of,
you're not a real person.
Unimportant. Oh, well, right. yeah, basically, like an unimportant figure.
We none of us have heard that. I don't know. That's just.
I'm constantly being told it.
Yeah, the whole thing about main character syndrome is. It's surely understandable, because you spend all your time with that character. Like, if you're watching The Sopranos and you're spending all your time with Tony Soprano, then you can safely say he's the main character.
Sure, sure. I get what you're saying.
Like, your story follows you even when you're having a shit, right? So it's like if the narrative of the story is even the person who's taking a shit, that's part of the story, then you can kind of understand why people would imagine that they're the main character of their own story.
But that's not what's happening here, is it? What's happening here is she's kicking the door open and going, come on, everyone, look at this amazing shit I'm doing.
I understand that. I'm just, it's like, no, I know. I do know what you mean. Yeah. It's quite a funny title for it, really.
Yeah.
I guess it's a lack of understanding that other people shit. Yeah. It's like, you will not believe.
What just came out of this?
But you could you could go like, well, look, this podcast can't wait. These ideas are too good. They set up a little soundproof room in the office. An hour every day, they just send her in there. And go,
download.
You record that. I'm going to listen to that on the way home. I cannot wait.
You it's can get those booths, can't you, that are just like a box around your head on a pole.
Yeah, Tom Bell's in one right now.
I'm in one right now, yeah. Yeah.
But like, he can fit his shirts in there. Like, these things, it's like a tiny, it is like just a box. It's like a head box studio, isn't it? Mm. One of those. Get in there. Can't wait.
She's constantly. She's just got like a little door that mid anecdote, you can just wait. Save this for the pod. Shut the door on her.
For the pod.
Little live light goes on.
Keep that powder dry.
There's an episode of One Foot in the Grave when a very boring neighbour calls him up on the phone. Do you remember this? And the phone, he just sort of basically goes, yeah. Puts the phone down, but doesn't hang up. And like every now and then throughout the episode, he just wanders up to the phone, picks it up, oh yeah. Puts it back down again. And I feel like that's what you've effectively done to this person. If you go over there, I'm going to stick a box over your head. And when I feel like a laugh, I'm going to open a flap on the box, go, is that right? And then close the flap again. And then.
Pretty perfect.
You don't say. Yeah.
It's like, wowee.
Now, listen, counterpoint. This person, let's be frank, if they're having to flag the police down because their hair is that good, then that's an exciting person. Yeah.
Might they just be completely honest and absolutely incredible?
Maybe they are incredible. We're assuming these things didn't happen. What if?
No. We've not met this person. We've not seen this person's hair. I mean,
I don't want to, but is Charlotte, is there a little bit of the green dragon, a little bit of jealousy?
How's your hair, Charlotte? We've got to ask. How's your hair?
I don't want to.
How many barbers have stopped you in the street this week? If it's zero, then we understand why you don't like this woman.
Because it happens to all the rest of us. We're always stopped in the street.
Absolutely.
Three out of four of us. Anyway, yeah.
Never, Matthew.
I've never had it yet, but what Parry lacks in hair, he makes up for in the fantastic shape of head.
Well, the hairdressers caught me.
Yeah.
I was too slow. The police car was at the top of the road. I just ran out of breath, and suddenly they were on me.
You were scalped.
Yeah. They took it off.
my tragedy just wasn't quick enough.
Police can't do anything about that, can they? That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I think we can safely say beef closed.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the phrase you use, but sure. I'll say it.
No, I got intimidated because Belle did it so well last time. I was like, oh, no.
Okay, Charlotte, happy to say beef solved.
Nice. Oh, there Love it that. Is. Love that. From the sorting out your beef solved. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We've spent so much time talking about other people's problems. I didn't even get to ask you what you're like to live with.
Yeah. Hey, look, if I tell you what I'm like to live with, you're going to be like, that's a biased opinion. So what I've done is I've got my Airbnb reviews.
Your main character syndrome will kick in again.
My main character syndrome. Well, it's basically people chasing down the street saying, you're the best housemate I've ever seen. I'm having to call the police day in, day out, like, please, you know, they're like, God. I just thought I'd share some Airbnb reviews.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Amazing. Please. Can I just ask, are these people who've stayed, you've stayed...
Sorry, I've stayed at their place, yeah.
Right, you're not Airbnb being out your place. This is just times you've stayed with other people.
So this is a good example, is if I was to sort of stay in a spare room of yours for a night.
Yes.
This is the sort of thing you can expect. Lovely company, very genial, says
Great.
Tony.
Nice.
Filippo says, discreet. And nice.
You'll never tell.
What do you think you would what do you see? I mean, I guess.
You know, don't say anything.
What did Filippo get up to?
Well, hey, I'm not going to say.
I was
say. You're not going to break
your right.
Sacred
You're asking
mind.
The wrong guy.
We came to an agreement. Good manners, fine. That's from Vera.
Good manners, bad, fine.
Yeah.
These all read like a three.
Yeah. William here, great guest, nice, patient, understanding.
Oh, what? It feels like the people who you're staying with have got a lot more stuff going on than you have.
Yeah, I stay in some bad places.
What, Fabio,
Perella here, and if you know Fabio doesn't give out good reviews willy-nilly. This is July 2018, so a while ago now. But Fabio Perella, again, who you wouldn't expect this from. Tom is the perfect Airbnb guest.
Oh, whoa. That's big. That's big.
Thank
you
very much.
Were you tempted to bow out after that?
I nearly put that on my fringe posters. Because that's a good review. Yeah, it is tempting, isn't it? You just drop the mic. Good night.
Okay, well, my Airbnb days are over. I can't done. Do can't yeah. do better than that.
Yeah, that's the stadium, isn't it, of Airbnb?
That's the apple.
It's sad for Fabio. It's been, what, 5 years, what it must have been like since then. The parade of
knowing,
other people.
Yeah. Knowing he's peaked.
Yeah. Knowing he's peaked, yeah. Well, can I just say, you've been a fine guest.
Yeah. And very so discreet.
Because you know what? The great thing about the word fine is it could be fine as in the way you look. Yeah, fine art. Mm. You know, I think don't. I'm gonna accentuate the positive on fine and say you have been a mighty fine guest here on the podcast. Thank you so much.
And I've had a fine time. Here you go.
Great. Great. A fine time was had by all. Is there anything you want to plug? Where can people see you, find you, look at your work?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, look, track me down online, I guess. I picked my social media moniker a while ago. It's I'm a bit over it now, but it's too late to change it. It's Tom Bell Forever at all the things. I started a new comedy night, but I forgot you had to book him in advance. So it's not going to be coming back till next year. That's called For Whom the Bell Lolls. Keep an eye out for that.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. Once you come out with that, you're obliged to do it, aren't you?
Yeah.
And just enjoy yourselves, guys. It's been a hard year, hasn't it? You know what I mean?
Always great to plug just enjoying your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say watch the Match Report, but they shut us down.
I'm so sorry, man.
I couldn't handle
it. They shut
truth.
Us down. It was I can't be sure it was the FBI, but I think it goes to the top.
I mean, you're famously discreet, so if you knew, you wouldn't tell.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, gutted. But it's been lovely having you on
luckily,
pod,
luckily, we solved all the world's problems, so maybe that.
Oh, yeah, it's a much better place than when the show started.
Yeah, it is. It's been great. Thanks for having me on. I've really loved it.
Ditto. From the sorting out
your beef. There it was. There it is. Here we go.
Off we go.
That was a treat. Tom's a real ledge.
Yeah, it was lovely, lovely chatting to him. And thanks very much to everyone who sent in their beefs. Don't forget, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com is where to send them. Or you can call the number 0208 123 3272. Or you can WhatsApp that number and it will send the message directly to us. Now, we've had a message in from one of our Patreons.
Oh, yeah.
To say that they've converted it. If it's a little tricky to remember the number, 0208-123-3272, you can think of it in this way. Okay. For the hotline number, I've converted it to words using the key letters on the number pad. So two could be A, B, or C. We all remember it. We all had Nokia 3310s back in the day. The best I can get is 0208-1-B-A-R-C. 0208-1-B-A-R-C. B-E-E-A-R-C. That means that when I eventually dial you, all I need to remember is 02081 and some B's in an arc. So thank you very much to Ben for that.
Well, I did think at first you were just saying bark really weirdly.
Don't confuse things, guys. This is the way we're going to get people to call the hotline. Ben's helped us out here. He's done us a huge favour. Don't forget, guys, it's 02081-B-A-R-C.
What?
Okay. Listen. Okay, all right. Your silence speaks volumes. All right. Or you could just call the number or remember the number from this wonderful jingle we're about to hear right now.
0208-123-3272.
0208-123-3272. There it is. There we go.
Okay, well, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham
Tees. Corsham Tees.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.